We're going to be looking at our series some more. We're in a series as a church which is called Logic of the Cross, the Logic of the Cross. And this is a series that is based from the book Hebrews. I don't know if we could just turn this mic down a little bit, so I can hold it a little bit closer. It's booming a little bit. But this is a series about Hebrews. This is a book from the New Testament, and this is a book which is designed and written for the Hebrews. The Hebrews were the Jewish people, and in this context, the Jews had become Christians. And so they had been used to this whole heritage, this whole way of living within the Jewish custom. You know how it may be for you that you may have been brought up in a certain way and you get used to the way that you do dinner around the table. You get used to the way that you get up in the morning and you do your routines. And you know, nobody should ever interrupt your routine, because this is your routine and this is your dedicated time, and I should not be the third in the bathroom. This is my third. I should be the first, you know. But the routines that we have in life, and the Jewish people, they were so good at routine, so much so that their young boys, that they would learn the whole of the Old Testament off by heart. They would know the Torah, the first five books, word for word, and so much so that they were used to all this routine. And with that as well, they were understanding and acknowledging what it was that the Word of God was teaching them. They understand things about the Bible that we as Christians in today's kind of understanding only get a small glimpse of. But what we want to do as we look through this book is help unpack some of that logic that is being shared, because this book was written, we think it could have been written by the Apostle Paul, but we're not entirely sure. We can't say for definite. But whoever's writing this book is writing it to the Hebrews, to the Jews who became Christians, to encourage them to persevere with their faith. Have you ever started a new routine and then all of a sudden, you know, you get tempted to get sidetracked? New Year's resolutions, anybody still doing their New Year's resolutions? Well, you will know exactly how these people would have been feeling as Paul had been writing, because they were starting to drift a little bit back into the old habits in which they first originally had. And so the writer here, he's encouraging them. He's saying, keep at it. Keep at the faith. Keep fighting the good fight. But what it's also doing as well is it's teaching interesting kind of doctrine and theology and helping us understand more about the Old Testament, helping us connect not just what Jesus did in what we understand just from a New Testament point of view, but helping us connect what Jesus did as the fulfillment of what he was here to do. You can understand Jesus, but you also, to get the fullness of Jesus, to understand why Jesus came, why he did what he did, why he lived a perfect life, how he was the great high priest, how he was the one who was going to become the savior of the world. And this is the logic of the cross. This is helping us understand more and more about what it is that Jesus has come to do for us. And so I'm really excited. And if you've not already been listening on the podcast, get listening to the podcast, get the information, download it, keep kind of soaking it in and getting it together. But I'm going to be speaking on the subject of perseverance tonight. The subject of perseverance, that faith and perseverance. And so I'm going to read from Hebrews chapter 10. If you have your Bibles with you, you can turn to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36. It's a little bit earlier than that. Verse 19. If you haven't got your Bibles with you, then it should be on the screen as well, so you'll be able to see it in just a few moments as well. So I'm going to read from the New Living Translation from verse 19. Here's what it says: a call to persevere. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter with our bodies into the most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And again, as I explained, this is information that the Jews would know so much about, the temple and the most holy of holies, and this incredible the setup that they had in the temple where God's presence was so tangible that only certain people could go in only certain ways. But by his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Let us hold tightly then without wavering to the hope that we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Now there's an amen, isn't there? God can be trusted to keep his promise. The promise that we can step boldly into his presence. He's not going to turn around the moment that we step in front of him face to face and go, nah. God is promising to us through faith that we would be able to step boldly before him. Let us keep thinking from verse 24. Let us think of ways to motivate one another in acts of love. This is for us and good works. Let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Dear friends, if we deliberately continue sinning, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there is no longer any sacrifice that will cover these sins, but there is only terrible expectation of God's judgment and the raging fire that will consume his enemies. For anyone who refuses to obey the law of Moses was put to death without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Just think how much worse the punishment will be for those who have trampled on the Son of God and have treated the blood of his covenant that was made holy as though it was common and unholy, and insulted and disdained the Holy Spirit who God brings mercy to us. In other words, there was a judgment that was pretty foul if you ever did the wrong thing that you got sorted out. But God is the ultimate judge. And if we are not protected by Jesus Christ, you fear God. You fear God so much. And so if that may be an encouragement for you tonight to trust in God, maybe that might be your encouragement. But it's because of Jesus. So for the one who said, I will take revenge, I will pay them back, he also said, the Lord will judge his own people. It is a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God, especially if you do not receive his forgiveness. Think back on the early days when we first learned about Christ. Remember how you remained faithful even if it meant terrible suffering. And if you know any of your church history, the Christians who followed Christ in the first 200 or 300 years, especially up until the reign of Emperor Constantine, suffered some of the most barbaric and inhumane executions and public displays of all sorts of different things. But the Christians believed Jesus. They some of them had been so close to him that it was just this passion that was burning up inside of them. They didn't want to let go of this hope. They must persevere because they need to make sure the whole world can know about this. And so this is just beginning. But sometimes you were exposed to public ridicule and were beaten. And sometimes you helped others who were suffering in the same things. You suffered along with those who were thrown into jail. And when all you owned was taken from you, you accepted it with joy. You knew that these things were better waiting for you. You knew that there were better things waiting for you that will last forever. So do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember, the great reward, everybody say, great reward. Say it again, great reward. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need now, so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that he has promised. For in just a little while, the coming one will come and not delay, and my righteous ones will live by faith, but I will take no pleasure in those who turn away. But we, and this is, I really think this is really encouraging, but we are not like those who turn away. We are not like those. That is a statement of intent. If you're a Christian here tonight, then you can say that I am not going to turn away. Maybe you're not a Christian here tonight. Maybe this is all new, but maybe you might turn to Jesus and then tomorrow say, I found a hope that I will not depart from. I will not turn away. And then it says, we are the faithful ones whose souls will be saved. What a fantastic passage. What a great way for us to explore our faith and to discover more about what it is to discover perseverance. And so what I want to do in this message, I want to share 3 points about perseverance and about how we can understand what it is, how we can get perseverance as part of our life, and then how we can then develop our perseverance, how we can practice it and take it forward, because this is something that I think all of us will come into contact with, and I'm going to explain as we go through it. But you ready? Ready? So this is verse 1, part 1, point 1, is this. What is perseverance and why is it important? We've just been reading from verse 35 and 36, and it says that, remember, there is a great reward it brings to you. Patience, endurance, and is what you need now. You know, perseverance in the context that we're looking at, perseverance is the ability to keep on going even when you feel that you want to stop. Because if you didn't need to persevere, then the hardship's not there, the challenge is not there. It's easy. It's kind of free-flowing, you know, you're just kind of coasting along and enjoying it and enjoying the ride. But to persevere is to take steps forward, which are not easy steps to take. It requires effort and it requires energy. But actually, to persevere, there is a prize at the end of it. I mean, why do we persevere? Because there is a goal. There is something at the end of what it is that we hope for as a result of us taking those steps forward. And in this context, there are two types of perseverance. The first type of perseverance is what we experience here and now. The present difficulties, the present challenges, the things that we experience in and about our world. It could be like the Olympians. The Olympians in this present moment, there's an event coming up where they must persevere through their training in order to reach that special event. But once that event has happened and once that event has come, then that's the end of what it is that they persevered for. They've achieved the goal of winning a medal, or at least taking part, at least crossing that finish line to be able to persevere to. And so you might be going through challenges here right now and what this week has been like and the things that we've been praying for tonight. And you might be feeling like, I have challenges. Does anybody have any challenges here tonight? I have a lot of challenges in my life. But I know that I must persevere to be able to go through those challenges. I'm going to explain how we get that perseverance. I'm going to explain where that perseverance, where does that energy come from to help us do that. But that's the first type of perseverance. It's the moment. It's the here and now. The second type of perseverance that the writer of Hebrews is writing about is the perseverance of our entire life to the very end. That we've made a decision and we're going to stick to that decision until we can hold breath no more. The decision that we've decided to follow Jesus Christ, accepted him into our hearts. And the perseverance is not just an event. The perseverance is a life journey from that decision to the very end of our lives. And as we're reading, we're hearing about the Christians who are being persecuted. You know, if they didn't persevere, then they would have just given up. We wouldn't be reading this Bible today and understanding the Word of God if the Christians in the early days hadn't have persevered. If they hadn't have decided, I'm going to keep on going because I believe that this is worth doing. But we persevere. Well, I remember, it's not so long ago really, but I stood at Bible college. It was one thing that I said I would never do. There were a few things that I said I'd never ever do. I'm not going to repeat them all because you don't want to be bored by that. But the Lord has a way of making sure that I do the things that I said that I'd never do. One of the things that I said I would never do was I don't want to go to uni. I don't know why. No, anybody going to uni enjoys uni. I just didn't want to go to uni. I just didn't think I could do it. I didn't think that I'd want to do it. I didn't want to go away for 3 years and then study and then come back and have lots of debts and all sorts of this. I just didn't want to do that. And so I'd made a decision that as soon as I finished college, I just want to get into work and get cracking. But when you tell God that you don't want to do something, then God helps you. He teaches you perseverance. He helps you overcome what it is that you say that you cannot do because with him inside you, he's strong and he helps you persevere. And so the Lord blessed me by making sure that I did it over 7 years instead. So it wasn't 3 years, it was 7 years. Well, it was a six-year course and I took a year out, got married to Sam, changed job, got a new car, loads of different things in that year. And so 7 years, thank you, Lord, to be able to persevere. And I know that even in my, I don't know if any of you have ever been to uni or ever studied anything in your life, but there becomes a point in everybody's journey where you want to give up. And I felt that point after my first year. It was kind of 2 year blocks as a 1 year and then 2 year blocks as year two and 2 year blocks as year three. And I remember after my first 2 year blocks, I didn't want to do this. I just didn't understand why I was doing this. And then I remembered Ed's words to me as well, you better do this. And that was motivation enough. But I also felt like I want to do this for myself. I want to persevere to at the end of this, because at the end of it, I'll have a degree, which is incredible, because that will help me with jobs and it will give me a standard of education that I'll be able to transfer in all different areas. And the perseverance of doing a dissertation, what a horrendous thing that somebody came up with. Anybody who does a master's or a doctorate, you're crazy, because it's just a lot of work. But to persevere and to, because at the end of that, there is a prize. There is a goal to come at the end of that, for me, I'm ordained within the Free Methodist Church here at Valley Church, and I'm officially a reverend now, which is just again a crazy thing. I can put on letters and stuff like that as well, and other things as well. But to persevere till the very end in being able to do that. But you know, if that was the only perseverance, if I had done Bible college and then given up on my faith at the end, well, that wouldn't be fulfilling the ultimate call of God in my life. Yeah, I've got a Bible college degree. Thank you, Lord. Got it. Got an applied theology, 2:1. Got it. Thank you, Lord. I've done it. That's it. I don't think God is kind of interested in that. God is interested in that I live every day for Him, that I wake up every morning with Him on my mind, that the thoughts and the decisions that I have through the day, that I persevere and I think about the day and everything that goes with that. It's not just an event. It's actually a journey, and it's all the way through to the very end. And so as we look to Olympians as well, it's not just the event, actually, it's the lifestyle. But as we look to Christ, it's not just the decision, it's the whole of our lives up until that point. So that is perseverance, and that is why it is important. Because at the very end of our lives, then we have a great prize. As we read and we all said together, there is a great reward. And that reward is, we would say in church, is salvation. It is the saving from our sin. Sin being the things that separate us from God. That Jesus, he has done enough. He has done more than enough to remove that which separates us from God and to allow us to form a perfect and connected relationship with Him. And so we persevere through our life as a Christian because we know at the very end of our life, we will experience a perfect relationship with God that will not just last for a moment, but it will last for all eternity. That our lifetime here is limited, but our great reward is everlasting. What is it worth for us to persevere now in the hardships and the pain and the things that we experience? This is only a blink in the whole of eternity. For us to receive the great reward that God is leading us to. It's not just the moment, it's for all eternity. Second point is this, how do we persevere? How do we persevere? It talks about faith. If we were to read on and we were to look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, there's a great definition of faith. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. Because we can't see it, we hope for it. But we're confident that it will happen. And that is called faith. If you know that something's going to happen, if you've booked a meeting in with somebody, you have faith that that meeting is going to take place. And if you've put some money on an investment and you're hoping and you're believing for it and you're going to go for it, you're having faith to know that there is going to be a return on what it is that you're investing into. Faith produces perseverance. But faith comes through hearing the word of God. Andy spoke a fantastic message this morning over at Blackpool, and he was talking about the promises of the Word of God help us get faith. All we need to do is read the Bible, understand as much as we possibly can, or hear it in this context, hear the words and the understanding of who Jesus is, we get faith. So tonight, you're all getting some faith. So you can't say to me tonight that I have no faith. I cannot. I don't have any faith. Hey, I'm giving you faith tonight. You've got no excuse tonight because you're hearing my words. Even if you've got your fingers in your ears, I'm going to speak loudly enough so that you can hear about Jesus Christ tonight. And so I want to encourage you, because sometimes as Christians, we feel like we just don't have enough faith. But all that we need is just a little bit of faith. That's how we get faith, is by hearing the word of God. And it talks about that in Romans 10, verse 17, that faith comes by hearing and by hearing about Jesus Christ. I think faith as well, I've brought a few props here. I think faith as well is is a bit like a muscle. It's something that we not only get, but it's something that we can develop. These are Sam's. And these are mine. That's why Sam's so strong, because she's lifting these. That's all she does. She's doing the ironing, she's lifting this, she's washing up, she's doing this. At school, she's doing this. She's so strong. These are actually mine as well. I own them both because I bought them up. But I actually go running with these as well. So these are 3 pounds, 1.3 kilograms. You can do a 3-4 mile run with these. And after a while, you start to feel it a little bit as well. But when you're weightlifting and you're stretching your muscles, I learned at college, I did A-level PE. Not that makes you great at doing the physical activity, just give you some knowledge about it. But we learned about something called DOMS. Have you heard of DOMS? The delayed onset of muscle soreness. So we had to learn this sort of repertoire for our... So the delayed onset of muscle soreness. When you exercise, your muscle fibers stretch and tear, causing a discomfort. Over a 48-hour period, your muscle fibers regrow, forming new strands over the top of the old existing strands to form a more complex and dense muscle system. Your muscles are 4 times heavier than fat, and as we engage with physical activity, your muscles will physically appear larger, but you will be in pain for 2 days at a time. I had to learn that. It's very good. There you go. Whoa. So you know when you make a comment about somebody who is physically adept and you say they are ripped, they are literally ripped. They have ripped themselves all over. And again, because what happens is, as you go through it, you physically are torn. Your muscles are under stress, and as a result, you feel fatigued. And you see, what happens is that over that 48-hour recovery period, and you can have protein shakes and things like that to kind of speed up your recovery, but over that period of time, your muscles naturally regrow over the top of the broken strands to make a more complex muscle system. And you're all growing muscle, whether you realize it or not, the fact that you're walking, the things that you're doing. But it made me realize that about faith, we can get faith. But to get perseverance, we need to stress some of our faith sometimes by putting it to the test. That if our faith is just a squidgy mass of loveliness, I have a lovely faith in Jesus Christ, then it's not going to help us secure through the challenges and through the difficulties in life. So as we exercise our faith, as we're practicing our faith, as things come towards us and it causes us discomfort and it causes us challenges, and you have an uncomfortable 2 days in the process, your faith is being grown. Because through that, you're not going to decide to give up. You're going to decide to pray to God and say, God, I need help to be able to recover from this. And God's promises are true and faithful. And God will always help you overcome that which it is that you face in life. And so it means that tonight, if you're feeling sore, if you're feeling broken, if you're feeling hurt, well, remember that you've got some faith tonight and that it's being exercised, and that tomorrow you might still feel the effects of it. But on Tuesday, you're going to be stronger. You're going to be able to step up to work and be able to be confident about who you are. You're going to be able to say to your family, if it's something that you want to help them kind of grow towards, I'm confident in this. Or it might be a financial difficulty. I'm feeling hurt and I'm feeling kind of stretched by this, but actually I'm taking a step of faith into where it is. It hurts a little bit, but I know that God's going to promise to deliver me and to help me through it. And the only way that we can ever kind of test and grow our faith is for it to be tested in this way. It's so important. When our faith is tested, as it says in James 1 verse 3, that we have the chance to grow, that the endurance will help us grow. It says in Romans 5 verse 3-5 that problems, this is what it says, develops endurance, which develops your character, which strengthens our confidence in the hope of salvation. Your problems are helping you live the entire length of your life to fulfill and to receive salvations. The problems that you're facing now are actually, count them as a joy. It doesn't mean that we should enjoy them. Oh, I love a good problem. We should count them as joy, because as a result of that, it helps us grow and it helps us become all that we need to be. And I know that there are things in my life, and I just don't have time to be able to go through them all, but my life has certainly been an example of perseverance. If any of you have known me for any length of time, then you know I've persevered through this, that, and the other. And I'm singing tonight, and I know that there was a time where Andy used to run the sound desk, and he had me switched off in the main speaker because I couldn't sing for Toffee, but they helped me persevere, didn't they? And I remember as well hearing one time in a rehearsal years and years and years and years ago that I was singing flat, and it was given to me in a really abrupt sort of way. And I felt hurt by that, and I felt within those 2 days and that week, it wasn't Andy, by the way. It wasn't Dave either, who was somebody else. He's not with us now, but not to say that I'd put him out of his misery. He's still with us, globally, physically. It's not here right now. But what he said to me was hurtful at the time, and it was painful to receive. But actually, I count that as a great joy now. Even though it was done in completely the wrong way, and you know, I'm kind of hoping that would never happen again in that sort of way. But actually, I count that as joy, because that helped me progress to the next stage of my journey. I was torn, but the faith and the perseverance, because of that faith, the faith knowing that I can do this with Christ who gives me strength. I listened to a lot of Coldplay and a lot of The Fray, and listened to a lot of things in the car, and developed the time and the space to be able to grow in that gift. And I know that the team had a lot of patience and also a lot of perseverance at that time. Thank you, everybody. I think it's a lot better now, don't you think? Hopefully. We'll see. But how do we get perseverance? How do we practice perseverance is the last point. I'd like to invite Danny to come up and play on the keys, if that would be possible. But how do we practice perseverance? Through every trial, every challenge, every temptation, we have the opportunity to exercise our faith, believing and living by the Word of God. The knowledge of the Word of God and understanding more about it helps us to be able to grow our faith, exercise our faith, equip our faith. And then how do we practice perseverance? We simply have to run the race. Simply have to run the race. But it's not just about starting the race. It's about starting the race but planning to finish. And not letting anything stop you from finishing that race. No matter how hard life might get, doesn't matter how difficult your circumstances might be, the goal is not just to start well, because we can all start things well. New Year's resolutions teach us so much about that. But actually, for us to finish well is the prize. We can have victories along the way, but to finish well is the prize. I'm talking about running, as going for a run around Stanley Park the other night in Blackpool. It's a 2 mile sort of stretch around the park, and there's hills that go up and down. And as I was going for a run and praying, and I'm thinking about the message, and I'm thinking about other things that are on my mind and challenges I'm going through, and I remember coming to this steep part of this hill, and it was almost as though God was starting to speak to me. And as I was about to start up this hill, I was thinking, do you know, as I enter this hill, this is going to be hard. This is going to be hard work. And as I go up it, I'm challenging myself to keep taking steps forward, and I'm having to breathe harder, and I'm having to exert more energy. And I didn't have these things with me, thank the Lord, on that time. But I was going up this hill, and I was thinking, do you know what? I can't actually see the top of this hill. And I was just thinking, maybe this might be for somebody here today. Maybe you're persevering, but you can't quite see yet where it is that you need to get to. And maybe that's slowing your rate down. It's not helping you at the moment because you can't quite see the end. But as I was running and as I was taking up the hill and I turned the corner, it wasn't long until I could see the top, the crest of the hill where I needed to get to. And then at the top of the hill, that was the prize. But that wasn't the end of the run. There was a downhill, which was awesome. And you can kind of stride a bit longer, and you can look awesome and feel great because you're going downhill. And you're going down it, and you're enjoying the prize of what it is that you've worked hard to achieve. And you're thanking God that I've got to this point in my life. But as you're going down the hill, you also notice above in front of you that there is another hill yet to come and yet to climb. There is no option to stop running because I have to get home. I can't not get home. Even if I have to walk, I still have to get home. Do you see what I'm saying? It means that I have no choice but to persevere through this, what I'm going to face. But I'm not going to slow down. Not so much that I'm going to start going backwards and start stopping. And I'm going to take this hill. And because of the victory and the prize that I've just received, I know that I've got something that I didn't have before I started that journey, that ascent. I have momentum. Because that momentum from the last prize propelled me faster up the next hill. It meant that I could launch that hill so much faster and so much stronger that I allowed the last victory to carry me. It got hard as I got to the top, but then I realized that was another prize. I'd reached another goal. And as I came down, there's another jolly hill on the other side. And you start realizing that what you're doing is you're going up, you're taking the prize, you're going down, but the momentum is lifting you higher to the next stage. You're going up the hill, you're taking the prize, you're going down the hill, the momentum is lifting you to the next stage. And by doing that, it's the faith that you have in Jesus Christ that when you're not sure whether you can do this, it's the faith that's going to propel you, it's going to take you forward. As you look back at the victories that you had, that will give you momentum into your future that you never thought you'd have before. But you need to know this as well. If you slow down, that is okay. If you start kind of coming back on some of the pace, because we can't always go pace sprinting. But the key is keep moving. Just keep moving. Because this is not a time trial. Well, not in this sense of the illustration. This is a distance. And the clock won't stop and then I finish. It will finish when I get to the end of the race, when I get home. And tonight, I want you to know that your home is not here. Your real home is in heaven. And it means that you might be running now and you might be chasing up the next curve on that hill. But if you have to walk, if you have to get somebody to give you a hand, to come alongside you and bridge that gap and to shoulder you as you take that finish line, then you keep moving. Hebrews is warning us never to stop and then turn away. Forget this. I'm going to take my journey this way, because there is no reward in that. There is no hope for a future in that. And in fact, it's quite the opposite. God desires that we have a future with Him. We've got to run the race. We've got to finish the race. And actually, God is here right now, and he's screaming for us. Come on, you can do this. The Holy Spirit that is within us is championing us to take the next step, to go forward.